in addition to tapering, by adding a priming training session with SNATS and the clean pull derivatives at 110% of the 1RM of the SNATS and the clean and jerk performed 24 hours prior to the competition or the 1RM evaluation, it will significantly enhance clean and jerk performance and partially total performance. Although, as we said before, they should be aware that the heavy priming sessions will induce a higher RPE compared to the lighter priming or the absence of training, and that's why any priming session should be individualized and first implemented under training conditions before it is used prior to competitions.
Hi Theo, it's my pleasure to have you on Evidence Strong Show. If you could briefly introduce yourself.
Okay, hello Alex. First of all, thanks for having me here in Evidence Strong. My name is Theodoros Stavropoulos. I'm a lecturer at the Department of Sports and Physical Education at the Scientific College of Greece here in Athens, where I'm teaching resistance training, Olympic weightlifting and functional training. Also, my master's thesis is focused on pre-competition priming on weightlifting performance. Alongside, I'm a freelance personal trainer now, and I also used to work in many commercial gyms in the past. I used to be more like an intermediate level CrossFit athlete, so that way I had the opportunity to meet many different people that excel in their specific fields, like Olympic weightlifting and gymnastics, as athletes and later on as coaches.
Excellent. Huge experience, and I found you from your recent paper, which is titled Effects of Priming with Light and Heavy Loads on Weightlifting Performance. And this paper made February research news or Evidence Strong. So I'm kind of familiar with what the paper is on. So I'm super excited to have you tell us what the details of the study are. And let's start with what was the goal of this study.
Okay. First of all, I would like to acknowledge the work and guidance of my supervisor, Assistant Professor Mr. Nikos Zaras, whose contribution was invaluable. I would also like to thank Thomas Babulis and Gina Kelekian for their contribution to the experimental procedures. We know now empirical reports from other weightlifting coaches suggest implementing a priming session on the day before the competition. So, what is the best strategy? To our knowledge, the last time the effects of a priming training session, including snatch and clean pulls, performed with low volume and moderate intensity, 85% of 1RM, were investigated in a group of young weightlifters, it was nearly 30 years ago. This research conducted by Fry et al. Back at 1995, and they examined priming approximately 5.5 to 6 hours before a simulated weightlifting competition. So the question arises, what about 24 hours before a competition? And here comes the purpose of our study. It was to investigate the effects of a priming session using the snatch and clean pulls performed 24 hours before the 1RM evaluation, either with light or heavy loads, on weightlifting performance in a group of well-trained weightlifters.
All right, you had also a control group that did nothing, just rested. Is that right?
Exactly. Three different experimental conditions. Control, no priming at all, just resting, light priming and heavy priming.
All right, so we're talking about priming. Would you have some kind of definition what priming is?
Priming, it's a delayed potentiation. Actually, that's how it's referred to many articles. It has some common mechanisms with PAPE, post activation potentiation enhancement, but it's not the same. It has a bigger time window compared to PAPE. In many articles they say it's almost 2 days. It can last almost 2 days, of course with a degrading effect. So we examined only 1 day prior to Olympic weightlifting event, 1RM attempt in snatch, a clean and jerk.
Well, that's perfect. Who did you invite to the study and who did you test?
Okay, so we were able to gather 12 well-trained weightlifters, 7 males, 5 females, with mean 4 years of training experience. Also, the experimental procedures and measurements were performed 10 weeks prior to a local competition, so we can say that they were in a good shape in general.
All right, what kind of level the athletes were?
They have participated in the last national weightlifting championship.
All right, so national level.
Not elite athletes, but yeah.
National level, right.
National level athletes.
Okay, so are we ready to look how the study was done? So exactly what they did at each session, the first session, then two, three, and four.
Okay. So about the priming sessions, the priming training program included 2 different weightlifting derivatives, the snatch pulls and the clean pulls. The actual priming training training program for the light priming included 3 sets of 3 repetitions of snatch and clean pulls at 85% of 1 RM of snatch and clean and jerk, while the heavy priming included 3 sets of 2 repetitions of snatch and clean pulls at 110% of 1 RM of snatch and clean and jerk. So we did that to keep the volume as equated as possible between the sessions. Also, at the end of the training session, the athlete's rating of perceived exertion, the RPE scores, was recorded on a scale from 6 to 20. Of course, for the control condition, athletes refrained from any type of exercise.
All right, you gave them one session, then you tested 24 hours later, is that right? And did it, what was the protocol for testing one repetition maximum in snatch and clean and jerk?
So for the testing procedures, the experimental procedures span the duration of 4 weeks. During the first week, all athletes performed the 1 RM strength evaluation in the snatch and the clean and jerk, following a day of rest and according to their self-selected increasing loads. Then they were randomly assigned to 3 different experimental conditions: no priming, control condition, light load priming, and heavy load priming. During the next 3 weeks, athletes performed these 3 experimental conditions in a counterbalanced fashion. To keep, of course, all training conditions similar, as I said, we keep the priming and 1 RM measuring days and hours the same throughout the experimental procedures. About the 1 RM evaluations, the athletes followed a consistent progression in barbell loading, which was the same for the snatch and the clean and jerk. They started from an empty barbell up to 95% of their 1 RM, then rest 3 minutes and perform their 3 attempts with 2 minutes between them. Also, of course, when an athlete was able to lift 100% of his or her personal best, then an increase 2.5% in load was given for the second and the third attempt also.
Wow, excellent study. Okay, what did you measure?
Okay, so we measured the RPE scores, of course, after the different priming session, the maximum strength in snatch and clean and jerk, the 1 RM, and also the barbell kinematic characteristics during the 100% of athletes 1 RM in snatch and clean and jerk via a linear positions transducer measuring the mean propulsive velocity, the peak velocity, and the vertical displacement of the barbell.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Excellent. All right. Are we ready for the result?
Perfect. Ready. Okay. So we found a significant difference for RPE scores between the light priming and heavy priming session. Specifically, RPE was significantly higher for the heavy priming compared to light priming, though no significant differences was found in snatch between the 3 different priming sessions. However, significant made effect was found for the clean and jerk, and also the pairwise comparisons indicated that performance in the clean and jerk was significantly increased only after the heavy priming session compared to the control. Later on, the analysis revealed a statistical trend in total weightlifting performance. Also, these tendencies seem to arise from the pairwise comparisons between the heavy priming and then control conditions. No significant differences were found in the barbell kinematic characteristics following all 3 priming conditions. Also, one more important fact is that the percentage difference between the heavy priming and control was significantly higher for the clean and jerk compared to the percentage difference between the light priming and control. However, in the case of the stats, we found no significant differences.
I have a question. You had a table looking at how many athletes improved, declined, or maintained their performance while having these different sessions. So
There's also in the text of the article. Yeah. So 9 are with the heavy loads in the clean and jerk. Also the table says 9 from 12. But in general, with the heavy priming, 11 from 12. They increased their performance.
For clean and jerk?
For clean and jerk, yeah.
All right. For snatch?
For snatch, none of them increased the performance, but none of them decreased also their performance. So it was the same.
I see. So how do you read into it? Is it that some people are responders? Is it that the type of priming matters more for clean and jerk than for snatch? How should we understand this?
Look, we hypothesize, we believe that priming with heavy loads, which are adjacent to the force velocity curve, may induce a stronger neuromuscular activation compared to lighter loads, or of course the absence of training. So we can only hypothesize that light priming may not provide a strong neuromuscular stimulus to provide detectable performance improvements 24 hours following the priming session in weightlifters. Therefore, and also this is the message, the tip for the coaches, when a priming session is planned 24 hours prior to the 1RM evaluation or competition, then maybe a heavy priming session should be preferred. In contrast, when if the priming session is scheduled 5 to 6 hours before the 1RM evaluation, similar to the article of Fry et al., then perhaps a light priming may be more suitable.
Ah, that's very interesting.
Also, we can say that from psychological point of view, lifting 10% more weight from the official weight record in the snatch and the clean and jerk during the heavy priming may accurately enhance the self-confidence, let's say, of the athletes for the next day 1RM measurements, as previously also described in the research of Fry et al. In addition, we could say several physiological parameters like the recruitment of faster and bigger motor units and the high amount of muscle mass activated and the increase of in the rate, the RFD, rate of force development, may induce greater neuromuscular activation compared to the light priming also.
I see. Would you have any comment? This is something I was wondering. Would the priming work differently for heavier weight athletes versus light weight athletes? Because super heavy athletes, for example, the absolute weights they will move will be huge. So the fatigue that may arise from lifting.
From all this polyderivative, you mean?
Yeah.
Maybe for the lighter athletes, they can recover faster.
What do you think?
Maybe that's a fact, but that's why, of course, the heavier loads will induce a greater RP scores, greater RP rate of perceived exertion. So everything must first implement it during training and later on apply it prior to a weightlifting competition. So you have to test.
That's a good point. One thing. On the same topic, so heavy versus light athletes, would you think that it would be possible to mitigate the huge fatigue with heavy athletes if we move the priming session, for example, 48 hours before, and for lighter athletes, 24, for example?
Maybe that's a speculation. Maybe we perform an experimental procedure later.
Thank you.
To widen the time frame of the between the lighter and the heavier categories.
Yeah, I have it recorded. You promise?
I will. I promise I will.
Thank you so much. All right. So how coaches, you talked about it a little bit, how coaches should apply the findings of the study.
So the take-home message for the coaches or the athletes in general, it's that in addition to tapering, by adding a priming training session with snatch and the clean and pull derivatives at 110% of the 1RM of the snatch and the clean and jerk performed 24 hours prior to the competition or the 1RM evaluation, it will significantly enhance clean and jerk performance and partially total performance. Although, as we said before, they should be aware that the heavy priming sessions will induce a higher RP compared to the lighter priming or the absence of training. And that's why any priming session should be individualized and first implemented under training conditions before it is used prior to competitions. Even though a light priming session will not induce a negative impact on weightlifting performance, a heavy priming session will induce greater neuromuscular activation, and that's why it's preferable for 24 hours, before a competition. Coaches should, though, regularly evaluate barbell kinematic characteristics during training in various percentages of the 1RM as a tool to monitor training-induced adaptations. However, the barbell kinematics may not reflect the changes in performance following short-term training interventions.
All right, awesome.
Maybe one more thing on the discussion about the trend in total.
Yes, let's go there. So you said that the total partially was influenced by heavy priming session. Could you explain?
Mm-hmm. Look, one interesting finding of the study, as we said, is that the performance in total tended to increase following the heavy priming compared to control. Actually, this was a 2.21 increase and should not be overlooked and noticed by coaches and athletes, because we observed the results from the last International Weightlifting Federation World Cup held in Phuket, Thailand, 2019. 2024. And it became clear that the difference between the first, the second, and the second, the third podium positions were lower than 2.21 in several body mass categories. Therefore, we can say that in real world conditions, even the smallest increase in total performance may determine the win or the loss in a competition.
Right. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
So we pretty much covered everything.
Okay, I have two more questions to finish. The first one is, what is your favorite lift?
Okay, let's see. I was never pretty good at snatch, mainly due to shoulder mobility issues. So yeah, I'm more like a clean and jerk person. Also, I could clean approximately 15 more kilos than I could jerk. But the thing is, the movement that always amazed me is the squat jerk, like many Chinese weightlifters use. I believe there is no more representative movement that highlights the beauty of a high-level elite athlete. In my opinion, is the best manifestation of perfect coordination and extreme mobility and strength.
True, true words. All right, Theo, where people can find you if they want to follow your work and see what you do?
Of course, they can find me on Instagram, Theo Lowline Underground Fitness. They can also find me in my ResearchGate account and via my email address. And of course, people can read the full text of the article in the official site of Journal of Functional Morphology and Kinesiology.
I will link the article in the show notes for the interview so people can click and read it. All right, Theo, thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
It was a pleasure for me also, Alex, for having me. Greetings from Greece.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Support American-made tariff-free clothing with American Giant with American Giant. They aren't affected by tariffs because their clothing products never left the U.S. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.